by Sergei Merkulov, and the title is Props of Ribbon Graphs in Volatile Levi Algebras and Motive Spaces of Curves.
Okay, thank you very much for inviting me to class. In the last few years, maybe 5-6 years, we saw a huge progress in understanding Kantorovich graph complex and the applications to many other problems. But I should say, the key results, which are now established completely, are not surprising in the sense that they exist in the form of well-motivated conjectures. So, when you saw a new theorem, it's not completely unexpected. Perhaps almost everything we saw was quite expected. Simply it's not clear how to do it. Graph complexes are easy to define, but extremely hard to compute. So the progress the progress is great, but we were getting what we would expect. What I'm going to tell you is very unexpected. At least when we consulted specialists, it's not clear that the structures on the cohomology, the structures I'm going to explain here on the cohomology group of these modular spaces exist. Where do they come from? What do they mean? And in fact, this paper, this project is a joint work with Thomas Paul-Wacher, which we were trying to do for at least 5 years. So there are stages. The main point was to understand in this theory what are the cohomology groups of these modular spaces. These modular spaces are everywhere. I'm not going to explain you. Maybe just an idea. So what is this modular space? It's an orbifold. What it parameterizes? Take a Riemann surface of G with n points. Consider it's up to biholomorphic automorphism, which keep points fixed.
So is it
unquantified? No, it's not unquantified, but in fact, the guy which I didn't try to write a solid line to make it a wall, because the idea is in fact the bridge between these two theories. And moreover, very surprisingly, not fully understood, that it looks like this theory sits in here completely. Without the meaning, all information here can be. We know how those and infinitely many cohomology classes of the graph complex which controls this theory, conjecture is injective. It's injective. So I want to motivate it. So what is good about this theory for people doing combinatorics? The bubbles have nice combinatorial models. So this is a panda. Some people call fat graph, we use the word ribbon graph complex. Complex, let me denote it FG ribbon graph complex, let me put odd. And what it computes, in fact, it computes the totality of cohomology groups over the stable range of these spaces but with some action of the permutation group. So in this case, in the classical case, it's we take the trivial representations of the permutation group and then all the functions are symmetrized. This is what it computes essentially when you go to this is the modular space of curves of uncomplexified of genus G with n punctures, labeled punctures.
And here on the left?
This is the graph complex. I'm going to give a rigorous definition. It's a classical ribbon graph complex. I will explain to non-specialists where it comes from geometrically. You will see. So this is what it computes, and this graph complex, I will explain the word odd. They simply come from this complex comes. This classical complex comes from odd Levi algebras. This is what it computes, and this complex was This complex was used heavily, say, by Kantsevich in his proof of the Witten conjecture, by Zagier and Harrard when they computed all the characteristics of MG1, right? You use it quite heavily in your papers. Professor Kuhn used it quite heavily. So it's quite, I mean, it's used in many, many problems. The claim is, in fact, there is another, I mean, in this, when I go on this side, so we know what does homotopy say, what does the combinatorial model for the LD opera. So the graph complexes behind it are introduced by Kantsevich, but it's Wolwacki who proved the control, the deformation theorem. So according to Thomas Wolwacki, they are controlled, this theory is controlled by Kantsevich graph complexes. It's a family of graph complexes, commutative graph complexes, GCD. So D is an integer. And essentially all these complexes, and these complexes split into the new world. In fact, we're interested in GC even and GC odd. Cases, I mean, cohomology groups of all even Ds are isomorphic up to degree shifts. Cohomology groups of this complex, which are not yet computed completely, we have a partial information. They are also isomorphic to each other up to degree shift, but I mean, it looks like there is no really, I mean, we don't know how they are connected, is there any connection at all, right? Nobody knows yet. So, in fact, this complex, the classical Ribbon-Bragg complex, is related to the kind of conjecture is all the classes here go there, the homology group. But what about even case? So in fact, there is another version of the Ribbon-Bragg complex, which computes what? It computes the same things, but now with punctures Q symmetries. We take now a sign representation, not of the group, and this is what this guy sits here, and we have proven, in fact, the injection, the map are injected on infinitely many classes, conjecture is everything goes there. So I should explain you this map, I mean, how we got it. It's, I mean, alright. And probably I should also make a remark. So, in fact, the paper is not much about these spaces. It's just the major application we saw. The paper is about universal structures on limb by algebra of cyclic words. Therefore, I mean, after this conference, I will definitely read many papers of yours. Because the way you and Anton have KRV is probably related to the way we can see GFT on cyclic work. I mean, we never checked it, but I mean, worth to look at. Therefore, it's a bit deceiving to say this is the major story in the paper. This is the major application in the paper. I mean, we want to say something new to people, but all the machinery is about much more general. Right? So there are, in fact, two complexes, and rather, I mean, what we know about these two complexes, in, at least for algebraics and geometries. No, the even complex, it controls kind of a deformation quantization of Poisson structures. It's a Poisson root. Oh, sorry, I mean, I apologize. In fact, the even one, this revelation goes, in fact, from a what are this is these are for Proparachik, for some structure is a resolution of an odd Levi algebra. Let me explain you why kind of even goes to odd here, why I would choose this notation. In fact, they go in between what is called oriented version of the standard conservative graph complex, and then parity changes, the same as here. You take oriented version, but then when you take oriented version, kind of a d from even goes to odd, it's by one, it increases. And then you can see this controls, in fact, quantization of the environment. Right, therefore, I mean, the standard classical Fermat complex is related to, in fact, Poisson structures, and this one is related, the new one is related to Levi algebras. But the, in what sense?
Your arrows indicate the other way around. So.
Yeah, I mean, G even goes here, odd goes here. I mean, they're odd to odd. Right. So this is kind of a one claim. I mean, this error, so kind of result number one, these errors, I mean, error A, error even, and error odd, these arrows are injective on int in many classes. Conjecture is just the injective. And let me say another kind of a maybe good thing for specialists, that these errors are not just existent, they are very explicit. You know, you can work with them. Really, you take a class there, and you know, you have a machinery how to book a class there. So this is why, I mean, hopefully we can see then GFT in your version of KRZ at some stage. I mean, it's realistic to hope. We shall see. So this is result number one. So then we go to result number two, that this relation tells us something strange. In fact, that, what are these? These are graded vector spaces, linear combinations of Riemann graphs with differential, which essentially dual is a total. You can contract an edge, or you can expand the vertex in the usual way split into dual relation. We work with core homology, therefore we split. Claim is, in fact, it's daily algebras, differential algebras, with a bracket higher than trivial. You really need to consider totalities of groups. The bracket does not preserve number of functions, but preserve genus. Okay? So, FG C even or. In fact, are Levi algebras. Are algebras, are degenerate algebras. So the bracket of an element, say, with n one punctures, and that functions will land in the world of n dash plus n to minus 1 functions. And I should say, the lead bracket is a game. We have an explicit machinery how to compute it, but it's very hard. I mean, you know, normally if you even just take two generators of just Riemann graphs, the lead bracket will be a very huge linear combination. I will explain it. You will see it. You know, all the machinery comes, in fact, from the deformation theory of operas. They all come from my claim. This is related. This is what is behind these brackets.
We will remember to ask what is the complex actually.
Yes, yeah, I will do it. Let me just give the list of results and then I will explain as much as I will have the time. Everything.
If you can understand results without definitions, then yes.
Yeah, but I think this is a vector space generated by Riemann graphs with this classical differential. But then the claim is that in fact there is more than, you can deform these differentials. So you can deform differential delta, the classical differential, just contraction due to the contraction of an edge. You can deform it into something EU. And in the even case, and into something new in the odd case. And then again, they're respective brackets. So, moreover, these differentials, this is why it took a number of years before we published the paper, we couldn't understand what they induced on the cohomology, right? You can take a spectral sequence with a spectral dot, so therefore these guys should induce something here. They're highly non-trivial there. And moreover, we now proven cohomology groups of cohomology groups are huge. They contain GC. This is how GC sees them. Again, let me be precise. What I mean by injective. In fact, it sits in some other classes. They are in classes, so you can embed it. You can choose as a representative in there. The claim is correct, but the more precise. You really embed GC in cohomology, kind of some cohomology of cohomologies. And this is already huge. What are they? We don't know. That's why I tell you. What we now meet here is completely mysterious. And kind of we don't have any great mathematics to motivate what we could expect. Right? And the fourth result. You can further continue that in fact, by the way, this is funny. This delta 1 is now changing genus by plus 1, but preserves number of punctures. This delta 3 is very strange. It increases number of punctures by 2, 3, up to infinite number. This is why you need to take completion. So this lives in the completed world. And in fact, it comes from that graph, which I mean, it was
But how is it related to those extra differentials we saw?
This is a Riemann version of that y quantization element M. But to see directly, it's not quite clear. Right. So, and in fact, you can further, at least in the even case, we know how to further deform delta 1 to delta 1 plus delta 2. Essentially, this guy kind of controls. By algebra, but then you have extra addition which is in volatile form. And again, conjecture is, which we've almost proven, but then it's still under check, that this is acyclic, which again, in new terminology means the cohomology classes here are common pairs. It's exactly what Mark explained to you before, this strange pairing already at the level of GC, in fact, it looks like it holds true for all these module spaces. It's extended to the Riemann graphs world as well. If it's true, it's not proven, it's conjecture. So let me now kind of explain you these complexes. And so now kind of remind you. Classical result. What is the combinatorial model for MGM? Where it comes from? Should I remind it or you know it?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, remind. So, let us take a Riemann surface of genus G and n punctures. Now, for example, let me take just genus 0, 3 points. We're in the stable region. So there are some inequality for GNNs, which I need. Right? We have three punctures. So there is a theorem which tells us the following. So it's a classical theorem which tells us pick up any n positive numbers be associated to each function. So to each function you associate some real number. Then the claim is there is a uniquely embedded graph on this Riemann surface which is read from the strip of quadratic differential. Make it shorter.
Another way, Borel-Mohr cohomology
which leads to all these shifts. But I mean, it's a kind of material model to compute this guy. And essentially, well, I mean, you know, this bit is contractible. When we go to cohomology, these numbers kind of disappear. Only non-metric graphs are left. Yeah, and you can see immediately, okay, I mean, you kind of have a naive relation with a commutative graph. You just forget the Ribbon structure, you have something here. Unfortunately, the interaction between these two worlds does not go through this naive error. Moreover, I mean, there will be some intermediate complex, which we call stable Ribbon graph complex, which is related to the Kantsevich complexification. It's a quotient of Delin Manfred. Some quotient of Delin Manfred. Yeah, but I will not have time to explain this relation. I mean, there is a third one. But these two worlds are related through something else, which I hope I will explain without it, because it won't take too much time, but this is how we got all the results. And this is, in fact, this is why the project was delayed. I mean, some stuff like this we were able to see already a number of years ago, but to claim, I mean, what I said with the injections and in many classes is highly non-trivial, homology infinite dimensional. To make these claims, it required kind of to see these intermediate objects, which was not evident initially. So, let me kind of make the formal technical remark, which is quite important. Here we obtain Ribbon graphs which are at least trivariate. Because, I mean, geometrically, the vertices which get drawn on the graph, the vertices have the following meaning. They are poles of this quadratic kind of functions are poles of the quadratic differential, and vertices are zeros of the quadratic differential, and they are at least trivariate. Somehow, when we want to extend, so it's okay at this level, but when we want to go to these higher differentials, it's good to consider all possible graphs of valence at least 2. Therefore, the ones which have valency 2 have no then geometric meaning. But it's easy to control. We know they are cohomology. They are precisely these, you know, these polytopes. They are exactly the same as in GC. So let us therefore, kind of from now on, so F, G, say C, O. This is, by definition, will be the linear span A over Q of Ribbon graphs. Ribbon graphs, or in fact, even odd. Ribbon graphs, at least very with vertices. At least of valency 2 with some orientation. Well, in the classical case, orientation is clear. You know, we have metric graph. Therefore, to have some orientation in this space, we choose ordering of edges, right? This is a volume form, essentially, orientation. Therefore, in the even case, in the odd case, orientation means choose of ordering of edges up to even permutation. In the odd case, orientation is exactly the Marcus talk. It's ordering of vertices, and then you decorate every edge with an arrow up to change of sign. So orientations are completely parallel to GC, except they live now in the Ribbon graphs. I mean, therefore, the details. There are two orientations. There is an orientation here, exactly the same as in GC. Right? And, what is cohomology then of this? Okay, I will use the same word, so from now on. Say of GC even
even what. Well, we are still in this world. I mean, we still have this completed product of all cohomology group of modular spaces GM over Q. The one thing, either we take trivial representation of the permutation group or the sign, well, in this order, it's either sign representation or one dimensional representation, more direction of the sign. And then we have well defined bits. Well defined bits. So essentially, it's. And then we have the following. This will be the sum of one-dimensional representations. So we shall have kind of Qs in degrees. Yeah, let me write. It will be the sum over Ks of Qs in degrees.
Linear
map, say theta, from W tends W to whatever field we work, say rational numbers of degree 1 minus D. You know, D is that parameter which is implicitly present everywhere. But essentially it's important D even or D odd. And it satisfies the following conditions, that when you swap two elements, you will have the following sign. It will be D plus, of course, degree of W1, W2, theta, other way around. So, well-known result, I mean, I don't know who did it first. Okay, proposition. Essentially, it's Goffman and Turab, right? Behind this proposition. So, okay, so next, consider a vector space V, which is what? This is a direct sum of tensor power of n modular cyclic permutation. So the space of all possible cyclic words in the vector, in the elements of the vector space W. Therefore, kind of I would like to represent an element in here as something on the circle, right? Omega 1, omega 2, and so on, omega n. There is no interval ordering. I mean, we have ordering like this. And then the statement is, theorem, okay, Goffman, Turayev, and others, and Chas, yeah, as well. So V is an invoitive.
Credit, but I can kind of probably write Goffman and Turayev and Chas, they were all looking at the topological version.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yes.
But those tensorial versions, I think it's Kuhne and Kawazumi.
Okay.
So I don't know, like kind of course.
No, thank you very much, because you know, we always had a problem. I mean, that was, the student of Chas has written a nice essay on this stuff posted in archive. And then, but still, the origin was not Kuno and
Kawazumi.
Kawazumi.
Well, you know that Masio Turayev.
Yes, and also sometimes the co-bracket of this type was introduced by Shedra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know, maybe I will ask for full list because kind of a, you know, this is. This paper is about this example. If you like, what we studied was take a stable limit of universal operations on this.
Well, but your bracket and co-bracket.
Let me explain.
Yeah,
let me define. So let me just define. So I have one cyclic word, right? Say W1, W whatever. I Wn. Then I have another cyclic word. Say V1, V2, say VJ, right? These are like kind of circles with marks. Marks are elements in our vector space. What is the leaf bracket? This is the sum over all I and J. So I parameterizes elements on the first circle, J parameterizes elements on the second circle. What we do, so we pick up a pair of elements on this circle, and compute theta on these elements. So what happened now? We still kind of have these circles. We just say all other elements are not changed. So this is omega 1, this is omega n. And the same with this one. So these there too, I make punches there.
I just let me make functions there. So I have this is this will be V1, V2, say this is Vn, some T, now stay on the same. And then I simply connect it like this, I get intuition. So this is the definition with the
right.
What is the Li bracket? Oh sorry, Cauchy bracket. This is let me I use built in the differential, let me do, use this one. So let me now again take this circle. Say there will be say par element omega I omega j. And then then I take the sum over all I not equal to j. Here they are like different sets, so I mean they're all different automatically. But here, I mean, we put this condition, what we do? We play the same trick. We compute theta on the chosen elements. And do the same. We make punctures in our circle where these elements were before. And now we complete our, we make two circles like this. This is the definition, this is how it works.
Yeah, that's the same.
Yeah, the same. But let me continue on. I hope I will explain you how we got it technically at least. So moreover, let me emphasize the following that the statement is that this is an invariative Li by algebra. Okay? So let me do the following. I mean, I'm Proparachik. What is for me invariative Li by algebra? It's a representation of a probe. It's a probe, not an operand. Of a probe of Li by algebra. So essentially, I have some probe, Li by algebra invariative, generated by the Li bracket, graphically this one, by Cauchy bracket, this is delta, modular relations, including, I mean, there is a standard Jacobi relation from cyclic permutation, there is a standard for Jacobi relation, cyclic permutation, and there is a standard Drinfield relation. Okay, you can continue on just by symmetry reasons, because these labels are empty labels, and plus you have invariativity condition. This graph is zero. So essentially what I do, I consider what is called endomorphism operand of this vector space of cyclic words. Therefore, this construction gives me map to the endomorphism probe of the vector space V. Remember, this is the sum of all these spaces of cyclic words. What is this as a vector space? This is a vector space. These are just forms from, it's okay. This is a family of forms from, say, V tensor N large to V tensor M large for all M maps. Now, in particular, this operator will go to, say, N1, M2. Okay, this operator, this will go to an element M2. One output and so on, all relations are satisfied. Next, main idea. We want to find a probe, something, which has a canonical representation on such V for any W and for any theta. What is, it means, it's kind of the space of all possible operations. But which somehow see the cyclic structure in this theta, nothing else. So all operations should be kind of iteration of thetas. That's either of this type, whatever we do. Nothing else. All possible of that. Okay, I mean, this is an exercise, but kind of with some expertise, it's not hard. This is what we denoted the probe of Riemann-Graf D. Remember, what is important? Well, Riemann-Graf D, and quite surprisingly, what it is. You know, it's a probe, it should have something with inputs and outputs.
So it's again, it's a finality of vector spaces parameterized by pairs of nulls. So this kind of input, and this is output. What are these? I can define it quite easily. In fact, these are the objects we saw before. These are the objects which we get on real surfaces when we pick up all these numbers. So Ribbon graph Z and M is a vector space for Q, whatever field you say P is K. Okay. Generated by what? Ribbon graphs. With the inputs will be vertices, with n vertices and n boundaries. What are boundaries of a ribbon graph? Remember, when you replace an edge by a ribbon, you have some circles. They are in fact some passes of edges, closed passes of edges. Therefore, periodic composition, what does it do? If you like, and these are zeros of the Strebe quadratic differential. These are poles. And our periodic composition, it's very different from any second solution. Before people kind of, either they attached patches to each other, something like this. Here we composition kills one pole and one zero. So let me skip the definition. It's again polycombinatorial. It's read from this cyclic works.
No, but how do you add? How do you compose now whatever cyclic, right? When you want this thing should be operations on what on. Cyclic words, or on a graph.
Yeah, every such a graph gives me. So the claim is that this kind of a canonical representation, and moreover, I think it's a kind of stable limit of this.
Can you show us this one example? So how a graph translates?
Yes, I can show. Well, for example, this graph will be represented by this bracket. This graph, ribbon graph, will be represented by this delta. And now a strange thing happens. So when you look at our periodic compositions, you look at these two graphs. For example, what would be? This graph has two vertices and one labeled boundary, which I don't show. This graph has one vertex but two labeled boundaries. I can glue two labeled boundaries to these two edges. Which graph I will get? This one. What happens? The answer is, if I kind of compute, if I make this calculation, I will get this graph, ribbon graph. But this graph in our story is identically zero because of the orientation. The orientation are the same as before.
I don't have enough imagination to understand how. So you want to glue the vertices to faces, right? How do I do it actually?
You can read it from this formula.
Maybe.
Yeah, you really read it from this formula. you can do it in words, right? You have a word. You have a word, you apply delta, and then you compute lib brackets on these two graphs. You can do it. And then you see what is the representation, then you get this graph. Let me skip technical part. It's a game. I can explain it in some. It will take about 20 minutes to explain. Let me skip it. So let me say, this is. And this identical zero, so this in fact. Okay, so in fact what I have shown, there is a graph, but it comes with a map. Therefore, it comes with a map which sends this generator to this ribbon graph. And that generator to that ribbon graph, the elements here.
And this is a map of Li biology. Okay, good. I have a morphism of protoroids. Therefore, I have now immediately differential gradient Li algebra. Now we reproduce all these Penner's graph complex in the even and odd version. I mean, with semi-trice functions and skew semi-trice. Both versions in count. Therefore, now I have a map from. I can consider now a deformation complex of this involutive Li to that proper attack graph, which is essentially a vector space of my even graphs with the same orientation. Simply what I've noticed, I have this composition when I take a boundary of one graph and can glue it into vertex of another, which is not explained by me. I apologize. Let us believe it exists and consistent with this. It's already. Okay, so this is by general philosophy, this is the GLI algebra. But first, I mean, when I have mapped from Li by algebras, what I can forget? No, I can forget the second relativity condition, right? I mean, why not? Then it will be mapped from the Li by algebras. I can forget it. I still have, then I have, then I should say, it will be completely different deformation complex. Why? Deformation complex needs a minimum resolution. This is huge. This is much smaller. They are very, very different. So this is just forgetting some operation, change deformation complex. Okay, but then I also can say, okay, let me set, let me forget about Cauchy structure. Let me set a 2-0 graph. Why not? So, I mean, forget something, forget involutivity, you come here, and now forget the co-differential. Co-differential, in another way, send Cauchy generator into zero, not to this vertex as before. But still, now I have a map from the algebras to Riemann graph. Now, statement is, now at this level, this is precisely FGCO. Well, there is kind of a, it's even the biology I talked in the moment about. There is an operation, let us keep it, it's analogous. This is a, then induced differential is exactly as a well known one, the Penner's one. But the only thing we get is a new bracket. It's a new structure, very difficult. Even on the bracket of just generators will be huge sum of graphs, very big sum of graphs. Kind of all possible substitutions as usual, in, of output into input in all possible ways, this is big. So at this stage, all we've got is this new structure. But now, what about this one? Okay, what it gives us? This would be, again, it's a vector space. I mean, the space of genera would be the same. This is FGCO. The Li brackets are the same, but now differential will be deformed. By which term? This is the term which comes from this Cauchy structure. Before we ignore it, it gives us therefore this Cauchy bracket on cyclic words induces a new differential on Riemann graph complex. Claim is cohomology is highly non-trivial. There are infinitely many classes. There is a spectral sequence which simply computes this. Then we go to usual product of cohomologies of modular spaces. That's get induced. When we compute next, whenever we end up with something with a big work. And next, what happens if I go up? You know, I have a Li by algebra, then I have FGCO with the same bracket, but now involutivity changes my differential further. And here we have a good conjecture, it's a cyclic. We thought we were going to prove it, as I said. And then we have, as I told you before, machinery classes here come in pairs. But now you can immediately see just from this interpretation Now, please, I explain to you where these guys come from. We just remember not just Lee Brekker from cyclic words, but also Coulee. And here we remember also involutivity conditions. They all get transformed into new structures on the Riebenbrock complexes. And now you can see, well, we've got something. Because what we have proved with Stokes, I mean, look, the ellipse is there. Therefore, in fact, I can consider deformation complex of Lieb to itself through identity map. Right? It's a huge, very complicated complex which we have proven is isomorphic to GC. Okay, GC1. This is GC1. And this is it's quasi isomorphic to GC1. But look, simply, I mean, if I add by automorphism commutative non-trivial here, I deform this error. I add an element in here. Therefore, I add on this algebra it means, okay, there is a morphism of of complexes. If you like, let me take a derivation, right? A derivation of Lie by algebra. Then I have so then I have some element in here and it respects differential. I have a map from E to algebra. But you know, this is true in fact also for involutive cases. So in all cases, they are kind of a deformation series are also they're controlled by the same commutative graph complex. Therefore, somehow we have a map from the commutative graph complex to the, in this case, it's a planar graph complex with, in fact, it's a map of Lie algebras. It respects, in fact, not just this differential, it respects even this differential. If we go to involutive, this is the full one. So the claim is that at this level, this map is non-trivial on infinitely many classes. So theorem. This map is non-trivial. So I mean, the associated map from the cohomology of GC1 to cohomology of the Riebenbrock graph complex odd with a deformed differential is not trivial on infinite many classes. What about this deformation? What is this, how it looks like? In fact, that's fine. What is this deformation? That's exactly that sum, I mean sum numerical coefficient of the Riebenbrock graph for the k greater than 1 is 2k plus 1 h's. So for k1, it gives us delta. Remember, delta is just comes from the liberated of this simple graph, but then we have the deformation. Therefore, we have this embedded into this complex, and therefore it's, this complex is highly non-trivial. There is an analogy statement for the even complex, which computes skew-symmetrized functions. Thank you very much for your attention.
I still can't quite understand these cyclic words. What was the role? I mean, right, you consider any Lie by algebras, right, this prop, but why cyclic words play a role for you, right? I thought you can take any. What was the...
Okay, so kind of, what would be a representation, so let me just draw any... Okay, what would be a representation of this graph on cyclic words? Simply what I do, I mean, I have one input, therefore I write some secret word. The formula key and the vertex. And then what I do, I hit all the words in all possible ways. Mm-hmm. This is exactly query structure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And but then you can do similar trick for any complicated graph you want, you know. If you like, you invest some secret word here, then maybe some other vertex secret. They get interacted in the right way. So essentially, what is going on? If you like, you assume you have kind of a collection of such circles. What will be an operation? Okay, I can kill these two, I can kill these two, I can kill these two, I can kill, and so on. It's an even graph.
So what you explained, basically what you stated before, but I have understood that those ribbon graphs define the universal operations on...
But they are this type. If you like, if my ribbon graph was n words, what it will be? I take n cyclic words, and then I start connecting all these words in the way we did in our operations. Mm-hmm. But you know what is the beauty of it? You know, what the boundary will give you. Every boundary will give you a new cyclic word. Mm-hmm. And that will be the output will be not one cyclic word, but as many cyclic words as the number of boundaries. Mm-hmm. Therefore, operatic composition is read just by composing these operations. Mm-hmm. Assume I start with n words, using some ribbon graph with n words, take another ribbon graph with n vertices, and repeat the operation.
That's very strange composition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So there, but it's.
But probably you can also say it topologically, right? You glue those holes to whatever, like because.
Topologically, be careful. Topological, the story is as follows. Let me make this remark. I mean, be careful. If you want topology, we just thought about it, it's a bit funny. I mean, if you even have a ribbon graph like this, then topological, it will be deforming. It's not the rule we use in PENA. We explode this guy again into a circle.
Yeah, you should replace it with a circle, right?
So essentially, topologically, is this circle. There is one input boundary and two output boundaries. Okay? And this graph, the topological, will be disinjected.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can do the same trick for all numbers. Then topological, you can. But it's not really just gluing, because you know, it's. Eventually it will be some such gluing. Yes.
But it is gluing because you should have some boundaries marked as in, some boundaries marked as out, and you're gluing out boundaries.
No, you take, you know, at some point you take a sum of all possible reconnections, and that's
okay.
It will be sum of something,
okay.
Not a single surface obtained by gluing.
Okay.
But the combinatorial rule is more or less clear.
Any more questions?
If not, well, thanks again.